Welcome to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues and concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak.
I'm Nell Larson.
And joining us for the first part of the show is Bob Deans. He's the Associate Director of Communications with the Natural Resources Defense Council. He's here to talk about, among other things, Scott Pruitt's resignation as Chief Administrator of the EPA. So, Bob, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks so much, Chris, for having me. Great to be with you.
Yeah. Well, let's start. Not everyone is probably familiar with who Scott Pruitt is. And before we can understand who Scott Pruitt is or was with the EPA, let's go back a little further to who he was when he was Attorney General with the state of Oklahoma, because he was no friend of the EPA even back then.
Absolutely not, Chris. As Attorney General in Oklahoma, Scott Pruitt was instrumental in filing lawsuits against 14 different lawsuits against the Environmental Protection Agency, trying to prevent, to block this agency from protecting the environment and public health on behalf of fossil fuel companies and other industrial polluters. So this was a man who came to the EPA having built a career trying to prevent the EPA from doing its job, and then he immediately proceeded to try to accomplish the same thing from within the agency to destroy its capacity for protecting the environment and public health, really undermining the heart of the EPA mission, Chris.
Tell us about this path, you know, from Oklahoma to, you know, part of the White House administration. Explain how that happened.
Well, that's a really good question. He was one of the favorites of a man here in Washington named Myron E. Bell, who was put in charge of the Trump transition team to populate the Environmental Protection Agency. And Myron E. Bell is a known climate skeptic. I know Myron fairly well. We've shared broadcast time a number of times. Mm-hmm. He doesn't deny that climate change is happening. He just essentially doesn't want us to do anything to protect our children from it. And so we disagree on that point. The EPA, which has a statutory charge from Congress since 1970 to protect the environment and health, identified climate change for what it is, a real danger. And so what we need is an EPA administrator who's going to take the central environmental challenge of our time seriously.
All right, so there's the setup. He is assigned as the chief administrator of the very agency that he sued 14 times because he didn't like their policies or programs, etc. So let's kind of summarize as best we can the changes, quote unquote, that he made to the Environmental Protection Agency while he was there.
Well, there were a couple of things. There were ethical problems, obviously, but the changes that he made was he set out to try to roll back the progress we've made on climate change. For example, he was instrumental in persuading the president to withdraw U.S. participation from the Paris Climate Accord. That, Chris, was, of course, a triumph of American leadership. We're doing what's best for our people right here in this country, cutting dangerous carbon pollution today so our children don't inherit climate catastrophe tomorrow. And we got the entire world on board. Every other country in the world made pledges, put actual plans on the table to curb, contain, or limit, restrict, reduce its carbon pollution in the coming decades. That was an important treaty. For the United States to withdraw from it sent the wrong message. It sent the wrong message to markets about investment in clean energy. It sent the wrong message to the world about our responsibility to address climate change. And it sent the wrong message to our children that we're going to abandon them to these dangers and leave them to pay the price and break our promise to the rest of the world. I can't imagine a worse message. That was Scott Pruitt was instrumental in taking us down that horrible road. He then set about to trying to repeal something called the Clean Power Plan, which is the way we're going to clean up the dirty power plants that account for nearly 40% of our carbon footprint. He thinks cleaning up those dirty power plants is a bad idea. He doesn't want us to do it. He's trying to repeal that 2015 rule. We're fighting it. Others are fighting it in court. We don't think he's going to prevail. He's also tried to roll back the Clean Water Rule, which protects the wetlands and streams that feed clean water sources for one in every three Americans. That's astounding that an EPA administrator would try to do that, but he did move down that road. He's trying to move us away from clean car economy standards that are saving our drivers billions of dollars a year at the pump by encouraging Detroit to produce cars that get us more miles per gallon. These kinds of steps back toward the 50s that anchor us in the dirty fuels of the past and shortchange our clean energy future are exactly what's wrong with the administration. That's what Scott Pruitt was all about at the Environmental Protection Agency.
All right, so these are ongoing activities. But at the same time, he runs into a number of ethical questions and situations. Let's get to try to summarize those in 10 minutes.
All right. Well, Chris, it's so funny because, you know, you said people may not know his name. You generally people minding their own business and going about their daily lives don't know who the EPA administrator is. It's not on their radar. We know who Scott Pruitt is because we've never seen anything like the string of serial ethics misjudgments and mistakes that he made while he was here in office. Unbelievable. This is the guy who cooked up a cozy sweetheart deal with the wife of a lobbyist who had energy matters before the EPA to get himself a cheap room to stay in. He sent aides out to try to get him a used mattress from a Trump hotel, try to get him a special kind of lotion for his face. He ordered his drivers to turn on the sirens of his car when he wanted to get to a fancy French restaurant and not have to wait for traffic with the rest of the Americans in this capital city. He astoundingly, one of the most tone-deaf moves I've ever heard, spent $43,000 of taxpayer money to install a soundproof phone booth in his office so that he could conceal from the public the work that he was supposed to be doing on the behalf of the public. I mean, I've been in this town 26 years, Chris. I have never seen anything quite like it. He betrayed the public trust. He forfeited the authority to leave. He was a daily front to anyone who cares about integrity in office or even the basics of good governance, Chris.
And then kind of following up on that, I've read that, you know, as staff brought up concerns or may have disagreed or expressed some concerns to him, they were then sort of reassigned or?
Well, reassigned and in some cases given the boot completely now. And that is one of the most disturbing pieces of the whole thing, is that when we had committed public servants, some of whom came with him from Oklahoma and were loyal to him, but when they saw what he was trying to get away with, what he was trying to pull off over the eyes of the taxpayers, they couldn't take it. They would stand up and try to say, well, this is a violation of an ethics rule, or no, we don't spend money to fly first class all over the country. These kinds of things. When they would raise these concerns, there would be retribution. He would punish them. That's a horrible precedent. You can imagine what it did to morale at this vital agency. When people were seeing their colleagues being punished for doing the right thing on behalf of the American people, it almost encapsulates everything wrong about this administration now.
So if you just join us, we're speaking with Bob Deans. He's Associate Director of Communications with the Natural Resources Defense Council. So, Bob, if this had been going on for months and months and months, what was the breaking point? He was asked to resign. Last week. He didn't resign on his own accord. He was asked to resign by the White House, correct?
Of course. I mean, that's how it works. And often somebody tenders their resignation. But no, we know from reporting here in town that back in December, the chief of staff wanted him gone because he had committed the one unforgivable sin in Washington, which is don't embarrass your boss. I mean, Scott Pruitt managed to embarrass Donald Trump. That takes some doing. And but yet the White House hung on to him apparently because they were so enamored of his attacks on our environment and public health, of the way that he went to bat for fossil fuel companies and other industrial polluters, and disassembled. The common sense safeguards we all depend on to protect our air and our water and our climate. Apparently the president was so infatuated with Pruitt's a capacity for going after that, that he retained him. He apparently just cared more about polluter profits than he did about protecting the people. What did finally send him around the bend? I don't know. We've all seen the viral video of the young mother who approached him in a DuPont Circle restaurant and asked him very politely if he would resign. 2 days later, he was gone. What impact that had, you can only speculate. But it's a good thing he's gone. The flip side of the coin is we now have a coal lobbyist leading the worst administrative assault in history on our environment and health, and right. Andrew Wheeler.
All right. Right. So let's turn our attention to him. Andrew Wheeler actually started his career, if I read this correctly, he started his career with the EPA. And then he went to the coal industry, as you say, Bob, as a lobbyist. And then he came back to the EPA, I guess, under the invitation of Scott Pruitt, et cetera. So who is Andrew Wheeler, and what might he do that may or may not be different?
Well, Andrew Wheeler, as you say, did begin his career at EPA. He then went and was an aide to Senator Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma. Senator Inhofe was a big supporter of Scott Pruitt. Senator Inhofe is the worst climate skeptic on Capitol Hill. He's the man who some people remember walked down and tossed a snowball in the well of the Senate to prove just how little he cares about protecting our children against the growing dangers of...
He did that in February. During winter.
Right, during winter, as if to say, as someone said, world hunger is cured, I just ate a sandwich.
Right.
That kind of thing isn't helpful, obviously, and it doesn't cut any mustard with people down in Houston who are trying to get over the worst rainstorm in our country's history. It doesn't help the people battling wildfires out in Utah and other western states. It doesn't do anything for people seeing seas rising all across the eastern seaboard or battling with croplands turning to desert in Kansas and Colorado. I mean, so people understand. They just have to look out their window and they see that climate change is a central environmental challenge of our time, and we've got to do something about it. And what we've got to do, Chris, of course, is reduce our fossil fuel use and cut that dangerous carbon pollution that's choking our atmosphere. We know how to do it. We're making a lot of progress doing it. We've cut our carbon footprint 14% since 2005, while our economy has grown more than 17%. So we can do this. We can create 3 million American jobs in the clean energy sector, helping us to become more efficient so we do more with less waste, helping us to build some of the best all-electric cars anywhere in the world right here in this country, and helping us get more clean power from the wind and the sun. That's the future. That's where the jobs of the future are, and that's where we need to be devoting our efforts instead of looking backward to the fuels of the 50s.
Right.
So Andrew Wheeler right now is the interim or the acting administrator. Do we anticipate that he will stay on as the chief administrator, or do you expect to see some other names floated?
You know, I think Andrew Wheeler is going to be here for some time, either in an acting capacity or whether they choose to try to, you know, have him confirmed as the administrator. I'm not sure they want to open that confirmation battle right now. They now have a new Supreme Court justice confirmation issue on their hands, and I don't think the White House is going to do anything except keep Andrew Wheeler in there as acting administrator for the foreseeable future. Certainly many months well into 2019 before we'd see any movement on that, I would expect now.
You're inside the Beltway, Bob, I assume. You're in Washington.
Yes,
do
sir.
You have any contacts with EPA staff? Can you get a sense of what the morale is there? Has that changed at all?
Well, I'm told that there was cheering in EPA when Scott Pruitt announced his resignation. I think there was a sense over there that a very, very long nightmare was coming to an end at last. And so I think that sort of elation about not having to wake up every day and pick up the paper and see what Scott Pruitt had done to embarrass the entire agency again was a real relief. Andrew Wheeler is a guy who is known, had a reputation on the Hill as a person who would listen to the other side, a person who wanted to go by the law wanted to go by the sound science and work in the public interest, as is the EPA's charge and as is the way that they produce every common sense safeguard that they do right over there. So I think there is some encouragement there that this is not going to be a guy who is going to try to just completely eviscerate these rules. But don't make no mistake, he's working for a president who thinks that this is the way to govern the country, is to just completely shift the burden away from corporations and make our people pay the price. And so that's the Trump agenda, and we expect Andrew Wheeler to try to implement it. We, of course, will ask for a meeting with him soon, and we hope to sit down with him, as do others, and you know, see if there's some places we can find common ground and work together. That's our approach to every EPA administrator. We tried the same with Scott Pruitt, and we're rebuffed. So we're hopeful that we'll be able to find some areas of common ground, because we know, Chris, that whatever we voted for in 2016, nobody voted for dirty air and dirty water. Nobody voted to consign our children to the growing dangers of climate catastrophe. And we got a Gallup poll just in April this spring that said 90% of the public, 9 out of every 10 Americans, wants the EPA to continue its work or to do even more to protect us. And 2/3 of the people want our environmental safeguards to be strengthened. So this is not an agenda the American people support. Trump is out on his own on this, and we all need to stand up and say so.
Okay. Well, just a couple minutes remaining. So basically, Andrew Wheeler sounds like somebody who at least can have a conversation with and maybe have some give and take with, perhaps. But you don't foresee us, for example, getting back into the Paris Climate Accord or announcing big changes to the Clean Power Plan. Those initiatives still move forward.
Well, Chris, as you suggest, hope springs eternal. It must. And we don't believe Andrew Wheeler is a great environmentalist, or he wouldn't have been working for the coal industry. But whoever leads the EPA, we believe the public has the right to expect 3 things. First, that he's going to serve the American people, not the polluters. We hope Andrew Wheeler will do that. Second, that he serves with integrity. We hope he'll do that, too. And finally, that he does what he swears to do when he takes that oath of office and pledges to advance the EPA mission to protect the environment and public health. If Andrew Wheeler does those things, Chris, he'll have no better friend than those of us here at the NRDC. If he doesn't, we'll hold him to account in the court of public opinion and in our courts of law.
Fair enough. Bob Deans is Associate Director of Communications with the Natural Resources Defense Council. Bob, how do people get in touch with you or read your blogs or posting, etc.?
NRDC.org.
NRDC.org. Bob,
yes,
Deans,
sir.
Thanks again so much for taking the time to chat with us this morning on This Green Earth.
Thank you, Chris. Great being with you.
All right.